What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
There's no right to an abortion. In or implied by the Constitution, it was made up out of whole cloth by the Supreme Court in 1973.
It's one thing to believe something about yourself that is contrary to reality. It is a whole other thing to construct a system that requires everybody else to play along with your illusion.
Regarding Jesus, two-thirds of evangelicals, 65%, affirm this statement: Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. That statement is pure heresy.
Babies?
Babies.
Love?
Love.
Listening?
Ning.
Two? Issues?
Issues.
Etc.
Shada.
With?
With.
There?
Dear.
Mommies?
Mommies.
Well, we enter the story of Joseph there in the latter part of the book of Genesis. As we teach a Sunday school lesson, Joseph at his lowest point. He is thought it couldn't get any worse, having been sold into slavery by his brothers. Things are good for a while in Potiphar's house until he is falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He is sent to prison, and this would mean, in that world, life in prison. He was going to die there, and that's where we meet him. But we're told there in Genesis 39 that God was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and favor. What does that mean? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on God working good for Joseph in Genesis chapters 39 through 41. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. We'll talk about the dangers of something called dialogical preaching, preaching as a dialogue or a conversation. Dr. John Bombaro, author of a recent column titled Dialogical Preaching or Not. And then we're going to spend some time with Pastor David Peterson, part two of our series with him on prayer. We're talking about prayers for vengeance, sometimes called the imprecatory psalms, why we need to be praying these and how we should be praying these. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on God working good for Joseph, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we meet Joseph here in an Egyptian prison where we begin the story. For context, how did he get there?
Well, Joseph was born, of course, into the family of Jacob. And what happened early in his childhood, Jacob began to love him more than he did the other brothers. And in 37, Genesis, verse 5, it says that the brothers hated him even more, not only because the father loved him more than all the brothers, but then Joseph had dreamed a dream, which he interpreted as all the brothers, including mom and dad, would be bowing down before him. And verse 11 says, and his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So there was this real hatred towards Joseph on the part of his brothers because of the love of the father, the robe he had, and the dreams he had. Well, what happened is that the brothers had gone to do some work with the animals, and Joseph went out to see how they were doing. And what happened was that they captured him, the brothers did, put him in a pit, and they sold him to slave owners who were going to Egypt. And that's what happened. He was taken into Egypt, and there was an officer of Pharaoh. He was a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, and he bought Joseph. Now, it's really wonderful the way how almost every chapter in the Sunday school lesson, the Lord gets involved. It begins in chapter 39, verse 2, where the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And this Egyptian master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And the word Lord is all in capital letters, which, of course, is the name of God, Yahweh. So, what happened is that Potiphar had a wife who got really interested in Joseph and wanted him to be with her in a immoral way. And Joseph says in verse 9 of chapter 39, "How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So we see once more Joseph's trust in the Lord God. Well, what happens is that she tells her husband a lie about Joseph, that he was going to do bad things with her. And so it is at that point that the husband, and this is Potiphar, sends Joseph into prison. Verse 30 of chapter 39, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And that's going to become very important in a moment. And so he's there in the prison. And guess what happens in the prison? Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand because the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. And so we've got the Lord all the way through this, keeping Joseph alive. And it's very clear that the Lord has something else in mind as he moves Joseph through these stages of life, which the Sunday school lesson is going to continue with.
Joseph has had his own dreams. Now he has an opportunity, we should say a first and second opportunity here, to interpret someone else's dreams. Tell us about that.
Yes, because he was in the prison where the prisoners from Pharaoh's house were kept, there were two, the butler and the baker, had offended Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he threw them into prison. And they were in prison here, and they each had a dream. And the dream was interpreted by Joseph. And verse 8, Joseph does it again. "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." And what the chief butler tells him, "A vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph interprets it that the three branches are 3 days, and within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, and according to the former manner which you used to do when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you. Please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house, this prison. Well, the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, so he told him to Joseph his dream. "I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." And Joseph interpreted his dream. "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." And that's certainly what did happen. So Pharaoh restored the chief butler to his house, and he began to work with Pharaoh, but the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He forgot all about him. And so that comes to the next part of the lesson. After Joseph has been able to interpret the dreams, and those dreams, Joseph says, were interpreted by God through Joseph. So once more, God comes into the picture. And he's in prison for 2 full years when Pharaoh has a dream. In fact, he has 2 dreams. And that's the next part of the Sunday school lesson.
So we have these dreams. Are these dreams being sent by God to these individuals?
Yes, they're sent by God because that's what the Bible says. In fact, in verse 28 of chapter 41, in regard to the dreams of Pharaoh, this is the thing Joseph is speaking, which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. So Joseph certainly understood these dreams. His dream when he was much younger, the dream here of the butler and the baker, and then the dream of Pharaoh are ideas sent by God to help foretell the future.
These are not, strictly speaking, believers here, and yet God is communicating with them for Joseph's good. How do you explain that?
Well, in each case, even with Potiphar, it says that Joseph found favor in his sight and served him because he saw, this is verse 3 of chapter 39, that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And the innkeeper of the prison is also spoken of in verse 23 of chapter 39. He did not have to look at anything that he had given Joseph charge over because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Because Joseph kept saying to these people that this is the Lord that has given me this strength and this ability. So how much faith they had is not really clear, but it's clear that they do recognize that the Lord that Joseph believes in is behind the interpretation of his dreams, as well as all the wonderful things he does that are always successful.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, God working for the good of Joseph in Genesis chapters 39 and 41. We will get into Pharaoh's dreams and their interpretation next. What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
When Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on God working good for Joseph in Genesis chapters 39 through 41. Tom, let's pick up with the dreams that God sent to Pharaoh and how it was he did this for Joseph's good.
Yes. 2 years after Joseph was in prison, Pharaoh had two dreams. One of them was seven cows, fine-looking and fat, came up of the river, and they fed in the meadow. But what followed behind the seven cows were seven ugly and gaunt cows, and they came up, and they ended up eating the good-looking cows. Then the second dream, there were seven heads of grain, came up on one stalk, plump and good, but then seven thin heads, highlighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh asked the magicians of Egypt, those people who should have known what dreams meant, and none of them could interpret them for Pharaoh. But during this time, the chief butler, remember his dream had been interpreted by Joseph, remembered what Joseph had done, and he told Pharaoh about it. And Pharaoh immediately sent and called Joseph. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard said of it that you can understand a dream to interpret it. How did Joseph answer Pharaoh? He says, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer to this dream. And then he goes ahead and he says what the dreams are about. They're about 7 years where there's going to be plenty of grain, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And in verse 25 of chapter 41, Joseph says, the dreams of Pharaoh, there were two of them, are really one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And the dream was repeated twice, according to verse 32, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Well, Pharaoh is to select somebody who can get ready for this, and he selects Joseph. And during the 7 years of plenty, Joseph collects one-fifth of the produce of the land. There's still plenty to feed the people, and one-fifth is collected and stored. And then at the end of the seven, when the 7 years of famine take place, guess what? Then Joseph opens up the store banks. He's second in command after Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, and this kind of answers a little bit, did he have faith? Verse 39, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. Verse 46 tells us that Joseph was 30 years old when this occurred, standing before Pharaoh the king. And Pharaoh gives Joseph a woman to be his wife, and two sons are born. The one son he names Manasseh, which means making forgetful, reminding Joseph that all of his previous problems can be forgotten. And the name of the second son he calls Ephraim, which means fruitfulness, which Joseph explains as, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, why is God got all this in the Bible if it's just about Joseph and nobody else? Well, the famine actually extends not only throughout Egypt, but it extends throughout the whole earth. And in the very next chapter, Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to buy grain, lest they starve to death. And boy, this begins once more God's plan of bringing people to Egypt so that 400 years later, they will leave Egypt, cross the Red Sea, and go to the land that God has promised them, the land of Canaan. And through the tribe of Judah will come the Messiah. So this is not an isolated story about one brother, Joseph, and what he underwent. It is God's hand in fulfilling the promise that he had made to Abraham, to Adam and Eve, and others in the sense of the Messiah coming to die on the cross, rise again to new life. And so there's a lesson for us today, because the same God over Joseph is the same God that we Christians have. And therefore, the same promises take place. And one of the main ones is Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, you will not feel that way. I'm sure when Joseph was unworthily charged with fooling around with someone's wife and thrown into prison, I'm sure he had to believe the promise of God that God would be taking care of him. And that came about by that dream he had when he was a kid, that many would be bowing down before him. He could not figure out how that was going to happen, but he did remind the butler to tell Pharaoh that he had interpreted the dream so that he could get out of prison. So he did have faith. We have a similar faith that we will be released from this prison on earth, this place which is the location of the devil's kingdom. And we've already been displaced from the devil's kingdom in the waters of baptism, so that we are now members of a new kingdom. And soon after judgment day, we will be fully in that kingdom with new bodies and our souls to live in eternity with Jesus Christ. So the same God Joseph had, the children in Sunday school have, and there's nothing that can happen to them that God is not only aware of, but that he is working out for their good. And sometimes that needs to be believed rather than felt, because a lot of times, even for adults, bad things seem to happen, and we wonder, has God left us? No, he's left you no more than he had left Joseph. So this lesson, by the way, this Sunday is going to be for Reformation Sunday. So for those having Sunday school, what a wonderful example that we are saved by God's grace, which means he gives us what we do not deserve, the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness, and that as he was with Joseph, he will be merciful to us in not giving us what we deserve. It is the theme of the Reformation, and this Joseph incident is a wonderful example of how God carried out those promises.
So finally, Tom, with about a minute, the simple law and gospel from this familiar Sunday school story.
Yes. The law, look what happened when the brothers envied Joseph. And maybe Joseph was a little strong in talking about, oh, you're going to be bowing down to me. But hatred ruins relationships and will often separate us from others and then also from God. Look what the brothers did. They sold them into slavery. The gospel, though, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ not only restores our relationships with God, he no longer is angry because our sin has been forgiven, but as Christians, the relationships with others can also be restored, as we see that God just didn't die for me, he died for everyone. And that joy in our hearts creates a fine relationship with others.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As Tom has mentioned, we base our conversations with him every week on the fantastic Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Enduring Faith. Now, they're happy to send you free samples. All you have to do is give them a call any weekday during regular business hours. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Look for Enduring Faith. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about the dangers of what's called dialogue or dialogical preaching. Dr. John Bombaro will be our guest.
The epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
This is a short ad, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you, but you and your family need a good Lutheran church. You need this for spiritual nourishment and training, and for the support and community that comes from like-minded Christians. Your children need Lutheran friends who can become Lutheran spouses. If you don't have that where you live, you should move. One of the places you should consider is Fort Wayne, so that you can attend Redeemer, maybe send your kids to Redeemer Classical School, or just get your homeschooled kids involved with the school. Besides the church, Fort Wayne has lots to offer, including jobs. If you want to talk to families that have done just this, picked up and moved to Fort Wayne for the sake of the church, we can introduce you to some. And if you want to come for a visit, we can even help with housing. Life's too short and your children are too precious to live where you aren't spiritually fed and cared for. Your job, your income, is not the most important thing in your life. Find Redeemer Lutheran in Fort Wayne on the internet and drop us a line. We'd love to help.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.